Amen. You can have a seat. On Sunday morning, I normally preach down here on Wednesday night, but the Lord told me to come down here this morning. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, JC needed a spit bath, or Richard, are y'all good? Cheryl's good, I know. So, but he told me to come down here. And one thing I've learned over the years, I just obey. And so it was an unction. So here I am. I think sometimes they want me up there for TV, but I don't really care today. So I'm just going to obey God. It's good to see you all. Are you ready to be a success? Are you ready to win all the time? Amen. Are you ready? Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, we've been looking at. And so let's start there, Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 9. We'll just read that. Thank God for his word. And you know, Joshua was about ready to take the promised land. He was about ready to lead the second batch in. And God's leading you into your promised land. It's your season. It's your time. Amen. I'm glad Ted pulled that oldie goldie out there right now. Hallelujah. I love that song. It's my season. Is it your season?
Yes.
It's your season, right? We know that. And then Jim had that word from the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on. We're living in abundance. We're living in the overflow. Amen. Are you excited about that? And the Lord's been talking to you about being successful. How many of you know the Lord doesn't need you to fail in order to make you a success? Well, some of you aren't so sure about that. You don't have to ever fail. Well, if you do, the Lord will deliver you out of it. But you don't have to. He doesn't need you to fail to prove that he's powerful and can deliver you out of it. He wants you to start learning how to walk in his word so you can succeed every time. And I'm not just talking about in finances. I'm talking about in your careers, in your business. I'm talking about in your family. How many know you ought to have the best marriages on planet Earth? Your children ought to be the best. Amen. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Amen. You're blessed coming in and blessed going out. Amen. Blessed everywhere in the city, in the field. Come on. Amen. Are you excited about that? God wants you to succeed. Yet there is some things that he needs you to know in order for you to succeed. Because the first group, Moses' group, even though God delivered them out of Egypt, he delivered them out with silver and gold. The Bible says none sick or feeble among them. Amen. They went across the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, he told them to go in and spy it out. And they said, well, it's just like the Lord said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Right? But how many of you know the 10 spies came back and they persuaded the people. They persuaded him in this. Remember, we've been looking at Numbers 13:33, I believe. It says, remember, they said, we in our own sight are grasshoppers, and so are we in theirs. And so they began to think of themselves as little bugs. Now, what do giants do to bugs? Everybody does this to bugs. You're a giant to a bug. What do you do to bugs? You squish them. The reason they couldn't go into the promised land was not that it wasn't the will of God. It was the will of God for the first group to go in. The Bible says they couldn't go in because of their unbelief. But if you study it even greater and look at it in detail, the first reason they couldn't go in was because of what they thought about themselves. Come on. The world is always trying to make you think something of yourself. You are not limited in anything in this life except for what you can believe what God says about you. Nothing. There is no limitation on you except what you put on yourself because what you think of yourself. As parents, it's our job to tell our children that they can be not just anything. I heard people, oh, baby, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can be anything God wants you to be. It's a whole lot higher. You can be anything God wants you to be. It's not just about hard work. It's just not about studying. All that's great. But the truth of the matter is, when if we can tell somebody who you are in Christ, it'll change their life. They thought they were grasshoppers. And they said this. It's very peculiar. In our own sight, we're grasshoppers. So they meditated that. They thought that about themselves. And what happened? And he said, now in their sight, we're also grasshoppers. Those giants never saw them. They were thinking that of themselves, but it kept them out. So God was teaching Joshua. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. He's like, you're going to have to teach this whole generation this. He's going to teach us this. Starting verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake. Is it possible for God to fail? It is not. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you'll divide an inheritance of the land, and I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So number one, we said we got to meditate. God got them out of Egypt, but he could not get Egypt out of them. God got you out of the world, but is the world out of you? We don't think like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. Amen. Thank God for all the t-shirts we wear. But if a t-shirt is the only thing that identifies you, then you are in trouble. Amen. You ought to look separate, act separate, talk separate, be separate. And so understand that we got to think different. So we got to get Egypt. We got to get the world out of us. How do you do that? By meditating. Then he said, you're going to have to do. We got any doers in here? Not just here. We're going to have to do, right? And he also said, you got to keep the word of God in your mouth. And then last week, we looked at being strong. Did y'all do your assignment? What was your assignment? Some of you don't even remember. Did you wake up every morning and laugh for 5 minutes? Oh. All right, we're going to have to do it. What are we laughing about? Well, the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Come on, are you strong in the Lord? The joy of the, what? If I'm laughing, well, I don't have anything to laugh about. You've got everything to laugh about. I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of my faith. He who sits in the heavens laughed. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Our mouth was full of singing and what? Laughter. Come on, so you're going to practice. I'm going to make you practice. Come on, some of you look like you really need to practice. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, you got to, no, come on, you got to smile while you do it. Come on, you bought all that toothpaste that whitens your teeth? Come on, everybody say ha, ha ha. What are you laughing about? I'm laughing because God told me to laugh. If you can laugh in the face of adversity, the devil will scratch his head. Amen? Glory to God. I've laughed and cried at the same time. Crying because I felt like it, laughing on purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord. But then he said, be very courageous. And then verse 9, it says, have I not commanded thee? Okay, so God's saying, I command you. So in other words, this is not a suggestion. If you feel like it, if you want to do this, I hope you'll do this. No, he said, I command you. Be strong and of good courage. Then he said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. That word dismayed really means, it means to lose courage or resolution because of fear. Dismayed almost means that you're so afraid that you get discombobulated, if you will. You're just in a state. He said, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. This is what he said. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Is God with you? Yes. I got even better news for you. This he's talking to Joshua, but God's not only with you, God's for you. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Or I heard my spiritual father say it like this, if God be for you, who cares who's against you? Because when you really know God is on your side, hallelujah, then you're not afraid anymore. And then God's with you, God's for you, but I've got even better news than that. God is in you. Amen. Pastor Rhonda preaches that a little better than me, but he's in you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he's in you. Amen. And what does that say? If greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the greater one lives on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that quickening power, that power to make you alive is on the inside of you. There's a treasure in you, a treasure of glory on the inside of you. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, God's on the inside of you. God's on the inside of you. And God is commanding you. I mean, he's not asking, he's telling. Come on, I think about it like this. How many of you know God is the Ancient of Days? How old is he? Well, there's no beginning in him, there's no ending. I mean, I think he's older than quadrillions or something. I mean, he's old. You know, and he calls us my little children. How many of you know that's an accurate statement? I don't care if you've been serving God 60 years or 80 years. If you are 120 years old, got born again when you were four, you're still my little children compared to him. Amen? You know, God is smarter than you are, right? Amen? And so when he looks at us, he still, I mean, how many, I'll tell you this. Now, don't give me any modern child raising books. How many of you know you don't have to reason with a three-year-old? I know they're teaching you to. I ain't counting to 10. I ain't counting. When I say it the first time, you're going to do it the first time. When I command you, come on. Count to 10. I'm going to count to 10, little Johnny. And when I do, if you want to, I want you to sit down. Sit down. And I should see a seat. Praise the Lord. You know what? That I believe is a tactic of the enemy. Because, see, you shouldn't think you have an option either. All right. I positioned you in for that one. Because as a parent, you're like, that's right. That's right. As a child, that's right. So when he says it, you do it, even if you don't understand. Could save your life one day. You have no explanation for it. Could walk you into a divine appointment one day. Could keep you out of a bad relationship one day. Just doing it his way. So he's commanding us, all right? So listen. God says this throughout his word, and I just want to run through some scriptures. He told us to fear not. So Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. I'm just going to read parts of these. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 43, 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. If we look at verse 2, we can get a little preachy and talk about it doesn't matter the waters, it doesn't matter the fire. God is with you and he will deliver you every time. Amen. Psalms 91, 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All throughout the Word of God, he's commanding us to fear not. And listen, he wouldn't command you to do something that you couldn't do. Now listen, fear is a spiritual force. How do I know that? Without studying too much on it, you've heard this said. Now, Job, it was accurately recorded, everything he said. Now, everything he said about God wasn't necessarily true. But everything that he said was accurately recorded. And this is the truth, what he said. He said, my greatest fear has come upon me. Job, I'll just bring this up. What you were supposed to get out of Job was in James. God is merciful. God is, he's kind. And Job was restored twofold. If anybody ever tells you, oh, I'm just like Job, you ought to start jumping up and down, rejoicing with him, spin him around a little bit, and say, double's coming, double's coming, double's coming. Glory to God. So listen to me. Fear is a factor like faith is a factor. The devil needs you to be in fear. The devil needs you to be afraid. Fear can be based on a number of things. Fear can be based off of something that's just in your mind. Something the devil's trying to get you to think. Because fear is based on an outcome that is unfavorable. You're afraid how something's going to turn out. Or fear, and we're going to look at this a little bit later, can be based on something you see that's a fact, but there's a truth that supersedes that fact. But the devil needs you to be afraid. That's why God said, don't be afraid. The first group of Israelites were afraid. Their fear came out in what they said. They said, even to God accusing him, they said, you've brought us out here to die and to kill all of our children. Well, that was just a major insult to God. And he said, well, you're all going to die, but I'm going to make sure your children, who you thought I was going to kill, I'm going to make sure they all get in. But see, fear caused them to say something. Fear, even though they walked across dry ground, even though God delivered them out with silver and gold, their fear kept them from getting the promises of God. They were afraid of the giants. They were afraid of the walled cities. The second group did not, nothing really changed except for them. It was a new group. The giants didn't change. The walled cities didn't change. And God didn't change. As a matter of fact, you know by Rahab the harlot's account that they said, we were the ones who were really afraid. Because we had heard that you walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. We had heard what you did, your God, not you, your God did to those two kings. And we were just here. But how many of you know the enemy will not move until you make him move? And if the devil can keep you and me in fear, keep us afraid, then fear paralyzes. Fear attracts things. Job said, my greatest fear has come upon me. This is nothing to play with, y'all. I really want you to get this today. Because there's been no time on the earth that there is more cause to be afraid. Terrorism is everywhere. The whole root, the whole word, terrorism, is fear-based. It's fear-based. That's what it's for. The devil is the author of all terrorism. They're squabbling about what name to call it. Call it demonic inspired. Because it's fear-based. You can go anywhere, anytime, and something could happen. But how many, aren't you grateful for the Holy Ghost? He can keep you out of trouble. Amen. Natural, the weather, the earth. And listen, we can be delivered all that, but Jesus said in the latter times, he told, and you can't change that. Do you believe in global warming? I believe in global burnup. Who caused it? It's all going to burn up. Should we take care of things? Absolutely. I'm not going to fuss about it. But the truth of the matter is, read the book. This earth was not built to remain forever. There's coming a new one. That may sound like a fairy tale to them, but it's the truth. So God is very strong on this. He commanded us not to be afraid. And he said, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. So let's go over this real quick. Where does fear come from? The first account of fear came in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. After Adam and Eve fell, sin entered in, and so did fear. Genesis 3:10, he said, this is Adam, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Sin and fear go hand in hand. People who live in sin, people who are not born again, fear is a part of their life. Fear, and see, he was afraid of God, not in a good way, not in a reverent way. Sin had opened the door and he was now experiencing for the first time fear. He was experiencing fear. And the Bible, what did fear cause him to do? Fear caused him to pull away from God. So there is a fear that man has when they're apart from God. A second kind of fear, the source, the root of it is the fear of man. Psalms 118:6, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. So there's this fear that is developed. You and I are afraid of what people may say about us, but really it starts with here. And this is something the devil uses on everybody. You are more afraid not of what they say, but you're afraid of what they think about you. We are so afraid of what people think about us. Now, this is a real tactic right now, an assault of the devil on the church. Because the world and those who are God haters and before there's an antichrist, there's going to be a spirit of antichrist against the anointing. And it's prevalent. You can turn it on. I was flipping because I don't really watch TV unless it's football. I flip. In other words, I don't watch anything. Pastor Rhonda can't stand it. But it relaxes me. I don't watch anything more than 30 seconds. I just flip, flip, flip. But I was flipping. That sounds funny. I was moving through. I was using my remote like it's a remote. That's what it's supposed to be for. Otherwise, you'd get up and do a button on it. God made it so that we men could sit there and go like this, all right? And so, but I was going through, and there was this guy on, you would know him, but he got on there, and his commercial was not being afraid of burning in hell, and it was a commercial about being an atheist, and it was very loud and proud, and it was anti-Christ. And so this day we live in, the media, other people, they're going to try to make you afraid to stand up and be a born-again one. They want to try to keep us quiet. They want to, in other words, because they say things like, you know, well, religion is a crutch. Well, if it is, give me a wheelchair. What I mean by that, not physically, you use that as an example. If religion's a crutch, then, see, I lean everything on him. But see, what we have to watch is we don't care so much what they think about us. If you do, it'll cause you to act different, talk different, be different. Because you want to fit in. I'll use a term you're more PC. They want you because, you know, our religion is one of many, they think. But see, this is not a religion. If I love everybody. But if I really love you, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. No man can get to my Father but through him. There is no other way. Well, that's narrow. It's very narrow. It's so narrow, it's one way and one way only. That's narrow. Y'all are narrow. I am. I'm narrow. Pastor, don't say that. That'll turn people off. Well, so we're afraid of what they think? We're going to water everything down? No, you can't. That's the fear of men. I will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And then you can take it to this way. I mean, when it comes to a relationship, people are always thinking that everybody's talking about them. Come on, have you ever wondered, I wonder what they think about me. I mean, maybe you all don't have this. I mean, because of who I am, what I do. You know, I remember when I first got on TV, everywhere I went, I thought people were whispering about me. You know what I figured out? For the most part, they just don't really care. And it was it's so freeing. Hallelujah. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, you know, people don't think as much about you as you would like them to. They got their own deals. They're not really thinking about you. They're really not talking about you. You are not the center of their life. You do not take up that much mind time for them. And if you'll just, even if they are, you just got to get to the place where you don't care. Amen. And then the third kind of fear is the one that I really wanted to spend some time on. But this is the one the devil really uses to get you out of faith. He brings circumstances or things that you can see, hear, feel, taste, touch, things to your senses to get you into fear. Now, a lot of times this happens when you have believed God for something. You're doing something. The devil, he needs you. Understand this. The devil needs you to get into fear. The devil needs you to work. How can you tell if you are in fear? It's by... Are you worrying about something? What is worry? Worry is expecting an outcome that is unfavorable. You're worried about it. How many of you know worry? Jesus is really against worrying. Y'all know that? How many know he's against work? He told us to cast all, the word says, cast all your cares on the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, you can't add an inch to your life. You really, what he's saying is you can't fix anything by worrying. How many of you have ever worried a bill paid? You ever worried a child to act right? You ever worried your spouse into doing right? Worry doesn't fix anything. It hurts you. It causes you to buy Tums. It's called Tums, you know, Rolaids, Gas X. It causes you, it messes your body up. Worry will do a number of things to you. What is that? That's the devil getting you into his arena. If he can get you into fear and worry, then like Job, the devil will bring it to pass. Just like God's raw material is faith, the devil's raw material is fear. And this is an area that I know about. This is an area, especially worry, that I had to work through in my life. I love my grandma, my mamaw. She's leaning over the bow, over heaven right now. She'll probably want to take a break because I'm about to talk about her. But she taught me how to worry. And when I was a freshman in high school, I did worry myself into the hospital. As a ninth grader, I was taught to worry. The devil grabbed a hold of it, and the fear that I lived in caused me physically not to be well. One of the things, fear, the fear also caused me not to have any peace. I used to not be able to be in a room with silence. I don't really talk about this much. I had to have something going at all times. A radio, noise, a TV. I needed it. There was this fear of being alone with my thoughts. After I got delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost, I could actually sit in a room all by myself with nothing on. It was a big deal. Maybe you don't understand that. But see, I understand some of this, and some of you may have some of this stuff going on, and some of you may majorly dealing with this. I'm telling you, God will deliver you out of all your fear. He delivers you out of all your fear. So this fear, though, that I want to talk about real quick, maybe not so quick, is something the devil has to use or does use so that you will let go of your faith. So we got Peter walking on the water. Y'all remember that? There was a storm. Jesus came walking across the water. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. What did Jesus say? He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat in the middle of the storm. He put his legs over the boat. This is a big ship. And so he puts his and he begins to walk on the water. How many of you know that's pretty cool? Everybody talks about Peter sinking. I want to rejoice that Peter walked on the water. He walked on the word come until something happened. So I'm telling you, you can start out in faith and the devil's not going to give up. He's not going to let whatever you want just come to pass. He's going to bring some things to mess with you to get you back in fear. Peter was walking on water. Your faith works as well. I'm not telling you to go get on the Tennessee River and see. I'm just saying that or go home and get on the swimming pool. I'm talking about what God told you. Because if he didn't tell you you could walk on the water, you can't. But what he's written down, you can do it. But this is what happened. The Bible says this in Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the winds boisterous, what is that? The devil began to draw his attention to something that he could see, a fact. How many of you know it was a fact that it was storming? How many of you know it's a fact you can't walk on water? You can't even walk on water when it's flat. But he's walking on water, and what happened? He began to feel the waves hit his face, the wind blowing through his hair. And what happened? He was afraid. Fear is in this realm. The devil wants you to be afraid. Because when you get afraid, that's the raw material the enemy needs. He was afraid and did what? He began to sink. That was not the will of the Lord. Because later we see Jesus said to him, why did you have little faith? That word little is length of time, not amount. Why did your faith only last a little while? He had faith. He's walking on the water. Now, you all walked on the water before, have you? He had great faith. It only lasted a little while because just like you and me, he got his eyes on the facts. And the facts produce fear. I said the facts produce fear. And when fear came in, fear and faith cannot exist together. I said fear and faith cannot exist together. When you get afraid of a report, when you get afraid of something he said, she said, a doctor said, an accountant said, an attorney said, when you get afraid and you take that fear in, it pushes your faith aside. They will not work side by side. Not a little bit of faith and a little bit of fear and see what comes up. You have to have one or the other. The devil got him to look at the wind. And when he began to look at the wind, he became afraid and he began to do what? Sink. In other words, his faith quit working. But thank God for the mercy of God. Come on, everybody try this prayer. It's a good one. He said, Lord, save me. Come on, you all know this one. Help me, Jesus. Have you ever used that one? Done in faith, it's a good one. And will he help you? What did he do with Peter? He grabbed him up. I don't have time to teach on this because it's not my lesson today. He grabbed him up and he set him on the water and he said, ye of little faith, why did you doubt, right? What was he doing? I believe the last thing he wanted Peter to feel was the water under his feet. Come on, God's not against you, God's for you. He is not a taskmaster. Walking in faith is not so hard and only a few exclusive people can do it. Amen. He put the water back under his feet. And then, you read that, then he got back in the boat. He taught him while his feet is under the water. Jesus is holding him up and he's teaching him. You know, you're walking in faith, man. Why did you give in? Why did your faith only last a little while? Well, we all know why, because he got afraid. And we're not throwing anything at Peter. Hallelujah. We're all probably going to be sitting in his classes in heaven. Hallelujah. You understand that fear, though, did that. And then we got Jairus. He found Jesus. He said, if you come to my house, he said, my daughter, she's about dead, but if you come, lay hands on her, she'll live. Y'all remember? And then so Jesus said, that's what I'll do. I'll come. He saw his faith. He was headed. And then we had the woman with the issue of blood. Remember her? She came and touched Jesus. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his clothes, I'll be made whole. If I can but touch his clothes. And so she touched him and virtue went out of him. And then as virtue went out of him, Jesus like, who touched me? And the disciples said, everybody's touching you, Lord. What's up with you? Everybody's touching you. And no, somebody touched me. And then she came and the Bible says she told him all. So I don't know how long, you know, how many know, I tell people, give me a 5-minute testimony and 30 minutes later, you know, because some people like to tell, they like the amplified version. And so they just tell all and all. And so here's Jairus sitting there and his, I don't know what I would have done. I think I'd have been rude. I'd been like, well, lady, that's nice. He's coming to my house. You know, you can catch, you tell him later. Send him an email. But whatever, you know, because I mean, this is a real deal. How many of you know his daughter is dying? Happy for you. And then all of a sudden, somebody from home shows up. It's too late. Somebody you trusted. He said to Jairus, don't trouble the master. The good friend was someone he listened to because he had influence. You need to be careful who has influence over you. You need to be careful who has your ear. Life and death. He said, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. And so how many of you know, come on, this is an account, not a story. As a dad, no matter who you are, Jesus standing right there, I'm sure the emotion hit him. And what happened? I know what happened because Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Why? What does that mean? Jairus, immediately fear gripped him. His daughter's now dead. He's not seen her, but he trusts this man. And this man says, leave the master alone. It's too late. Fear grips him because Jesus said, don't be afraid. Why? Fear and faith cannot operate in the same place because Jesus is not done. He said, only believe. Only believe. How do you know that's kind of vague? Only believe. But what did he mean? Only believe. Only believe what you already said. He said, if you'll come to my house, lay hands on my daughter, she'll live. That's what he said. And Jesus was hooked with, I'll come, I'll lay hands on, and she'll live. Jesus didn't care whether she was dead or alive, how sick she was. He was coming for the words. The words were, I'm coming, I'm laying hands on you, and you're going to live. Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe what? Only believe what you already said. And how many know? Jesus did. Got him back there, laid hands on her. She's alive. What's the point? Fear of God in a wrong way with sin, fear of men, fear of circumstances that gets in and it closes out our faith. It pushes it out. But I got good news. Have you been delivered from fear? You don't have to have any fear. Let's see this, Romans 8:15. Let's look at this, Romans 8:15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Do I got any born again people in this room? Is Father Abba to you? Is he your daddy? Amen. And so I was looking at this and I was thinking of a way to describe this. And, you know, some of you may have to forgive me after this, but I was thinking about the mafia. I was thinking about the mob. And I was thinking, once you get in the family, you're safe. As long as I'm with him. And because I'm with him, you can't touch me. Because if you touch me, you're going to touch him. I'm in the family. I'm in the family. Come on. Do we got anybody who understands that? Listen to me. You're in the family of God. And God is saying, you can't touch them. Because they're with me. They're with me. They're with me. God is on my side. God is on my side. I've been adopted into the family. I am a son. I am an heir. I am a joint heir. Are you? I'm in the family. That's what he's saying. You're no longer in bondage to the spirit of fear. Because you're in the family. You're in the family, then fear should be something, just don't let it come near you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Anytime fear tries to come, get into the presence of God. He will hear you and he will deliver you out of all your fear. And then the greatest one, how do you get rid of fear? Because you're part of the family, because you call upon the Lord. You don't have a spirit of fear anymore. Come on, everybody say that. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Say, I'm not afraid. Can you see that's the devil's tool? He needs you to be afraid. And God commanded you not to be, and he wouldn't command you to do something you couldn't do. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the Amplified. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear. Because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfect in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. When you understand how much God loves you, the Bible says this, if he didn't withhold Jesus, what would he ever withhold from you? God's love, when you understand God's love, when you understand how complete it is, when you understand how much God loves you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Because y'all not afraid of dying, are you? Pastor, I want to talk about it. Oh, death, where's your sting? Why? Because it's victory. I think, you know, we need to be more conscious of heaven and the reality of it. We don't have to be afraid, not even of death. Now, we're not getting up a load today. You need to stay down here and do your work. All right? But we're not afraid. We're not afraid. We don't live in fear of anything. When the devil tries to use fear, what's the point today? The Lord's just trying to say, fight fear. Make sure that you don't yield to it in any way. And how do you do that? Understand that he is love. And his love casts out all fear. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm not afraid. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember what he told Joshua? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He said, be very courageous. I command you to be strong and very courageous. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Hallelujah. So we're going to do that. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never made him the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Jesus is the Son of God. He was raised from the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one on planet Earth can get to heaven except through him. He loves you so much that he died on a cross for your sin. He took them all. He took your sickness and disease. He became sin. Somebody had to pay, and Jesus did. But you need to receive him. Do you want to receive him? Do you want to make him the Lord of your life? Let him change you. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. If you believe on him, you can call on his name. You can call on him right now and be saved. You might be in this room and you might once have served God, but you've been living and practicing sin and just away from God, and you're here today. Somebody brought you or you decided to come. Listen, God's not mad at you. He's anything but mad at you. But living in sin, walking in sin, separates you from God. And sin will produce this fear that I'm talking about. But guess what? I got such good news. The blood of Jesus that saved you will also cleanse you, forgive you, get you back in right relationship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room, you've never been born again, or you've been away from God and you want to come home, listen to me. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. If that's you, lift up your hand so I can see you. I want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift it up high. Hallelujah. If you put it up, you can put it down. This is what we're going to do. Anyone else in the room? Anybody else? This is what we're going to do. I want everybody to do this together. I want us all to lift one hand to heaven. Let's help those that have lifted their hand. Everybody say this. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and I receive him as my Savior. I make him the Lord of my life. And then if you've been away from God, this is how I want you to pray. Say, Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe the blood of Jesus cleanses me right now from all my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you who lifted your hand, right in the back of the room, we've got a prayer room. And we've got people that are back there that I've got some material that I want you to have. The Bible says this, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess. Jesus said about him, if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. And so it's real important that you go pick this up, that you go get this stuff. It's right there in the back. I want you to come back there, those of you who lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand. They got materials for you, and they're going to give it to you. Amen. God bless you. Everybody say it again. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might.